Meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:23 p.m. It's Friday, April 2nd, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today. Did I get the wrong time? It was 1:23 when I announced. Oh, 2:23. Oh, make a correction. It was 2:23 when we started, not 1:23. I'm even ahead of the usual scheduled time. Present today, Senator Kaufman, Senator Giesel, Senator Tobin, my vice chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is Senate Bill 20, Appropriation Limit, Governor's Budget, and SJR 4, Constitutional Amendment Appropriation Limit, sponsored by Senator Kaufman. This is the third hearing of both these pieces of legislation in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Before the committee are two proposed committee substitutes. Here to provide an explanation of the changes for the committee substitutes is our Senate Judiciary Aide, Brianna Kakarik. Brianna, if you could please come forward, join us in the front, put yourself on the record, and provide an explanation.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brianna Kakarik, and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. I will be doing two explanation of changes. I will be starting with the explanation of changes for Senate Bill 20, version B to version S. The CS for Senate Bill 20, Judiciary version S, amends version B with the following changes, including the permanent fund dividend within the spending cap, including government spending within the value of the real gross domestic product, and including a conforming change from new subsection F to new subsection H in section 2. Moving on to the explanation of changes for Senate Joint Resolution 4. The CS for Senate Joint Resolution 4, Judiciary Version U, amends Version B with the following changes, including the permanent fund dividend within the spending cap, including government spending within the value of the real gross domestic product. In section one, changing the affirmative vote of 2/3 to an affirmative vote of a majority. With the affirmative vote of a majority of the membership of each house, the legislature may appropriate an additional amount for capital improvements in excess of the limit under section one. And in section two, including language stating the amount appropriated from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund for a fiscal year under subsection C may not exceed 25% of the balance of the fund on June 3rd of the previous fiscal year. Thank you.
Questions about the changes in the two committee substitutes? Senator Kaufman?
I do have some comments and responses to some of that. So at the point where that's appropriate, I'd like to go through some information that I have.
Absolutely. Why don't I don't see questions. So let's take questions first. Well, actually, we'll answer questions. And then after Senator Kaufman's comments, if there's questions for Senator Kaufman, you can certainly ask him. Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm just going to ask this question as a blanket for both versions, and then hopefully we can answer for both version S and for version U. So the one piece that I'm trying to understand is how a deposit into the permanent fund might be counted. If there's a windfall from our state and we made an additional deposit into the corpus of the permanent fund, would that be included or excluded from the appropriation limit as described in version S and in version U? Is that clear?
Yes, I think so.
That is a good question that, through the chair to Senator Holman, that is a good question that I honestly don't know how to answer right now. I may defer to the chair who helped with some of these changes if he may know how to answer.
Actually, that's probably as good a question for Senator Kaufman as for Senator Kaufman's staff. Senator Kaufman, I'll leave it to you. Would you rather answer or have your staff answer the question?
Thank you, Chair Klayman. What I'd like to do, I'll just take the stand with a Mr. Harvey, and we'll just put ourselves in the testifying posture for this, so it may be easier.
Absolutely, that makes great sense.
For the record, Senator James Kaufman, Senate District F, Anchorage. In response through the chair to Senator Tobin's question, it's not a change that we wish to have happen because we feel that it blocks, it disincentivizes savings. And so that particular change, we would prefer that appropriations to the permanent fund not be under the cap because we don't want to do anything to limit our ability to move money into savings.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So under work draft, just so I'm clear, under work draft S and under work draft U, the additional appropriation or funds going into the permanent fund corpus would be considered under the cap.
Through the chair to Senator Tobin, not in our original version, we had left it out, but in the change, we do not believe it's a beneficial change.
Right. Just for clarity, my understanding and my office worked on the changes was we took the permanent fund dividends out of the exception to the cap. But I understood Senator Tobin's question to be if we made a $1 billion appropriation to the permanent fund principal as opposed to a dividend, my understanding is that that would not count under the cap, that if we put $1 billion into the permanent fund, that would not count under the spending cap.
We believe that change two, as we're referring to it in our register of changes, would have that effect. So it removing the language allowing capitalization of the permanent fund.
And I guess I'm confused because I didn't think we removed language about cotton.
Okay, maybe I'm responding to the wrong line item, perhaps.
If I may, Chair.
Sure, Mr. Harvey.
For the record, Matthew Harvey, staff to Senator Kaufman, and through the chair to Senator Tobin. There were, I think, two, maybe as an artifact of removing the exemption of Alaska Permanent Fund dividends, as it's stated in the current constitutional language. That was one change, and then in our initial proposal, there was an added language after that change that stated that appropriations to the Alaska Permanent Fund were exempt. That added language was taken out, so there were, in effect, those two changes, one removing the exemption of Alaska Permanent Fund dividends and one removing added language, which in consultation with Ledge Legal could have been clarifying language to ensure that appropriations to the Alaska Permanent Fund itself were exempt from the cap, but one was removing the current constitutional language and one was removing the added language in our initial version of the resolution and bill.
So Senator Tobin, all I can say is the person that was requesting the changes, my goal was to have permanent fund dividends removed so that permanent fund dividends were no longer exempt from the cap, but it was not my goal to exempt appropriations to the permanent fund because effectively that would be taking money that's effectively in savings and keeping it in savings, and it wouldn't be an appropriation. So if that was an error in drafting, these things can happen. Mr. Harvey.
If I may, too, for the record, Matthew Harvey and to Chair Klayman, the reason I say that could have been clarifying language is in that same paragraph in the same section, a little bit further down, there's added language for appropriations to a state account or fund that requires a subsequent appropriation from that account or fund as prescribed by law. And so for clarity, we wanted to specify the Alaska Permanent Fund because of different interpretations that could possibly down the road come from that language that's further down in the paragraph with regards to the subsequent appropriation from that state account or fund.
But at least I appreciate the discussion because my understanding was that language, appropriations to a state account or fund that requires a subsequent appropriation from that account, that the permanent fund would fit within that. Not the dividend, but the permanent fund itself falls within that definition or that description.
for the record, Matthew Harvey, it likely will, is the understanding.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was my interpretation as well, that language would cover the permanent fund, it would cover the public school trust fund, from which the corpus is protected, but from which we can make annual appropriations, so very comparable. That was my read on it.
Senator Kaufman.
Yeah, through the chair, I just want to say that the question of whether or not to put the dividend under the cap, that's a policy call that we can discuss separately. The other thing that I want to make clear is we want to do no harm with respect to being able to save, you know, transfer funds to savings. The intent was always to protect that ability. We don't want to inadvertently limit the ability to be thrifty while trying to do something that tries to get a handle on spending. So just as a statement of intent.
Sure. Does it seem reasonable for purposes of our committee discussions here, and we can have it as a note that we may want to, in the next committee, you may want to take up that topic, but the language appropriations to the lines on line 8, 9, and 10 of SB 20, and it would be the same language. Hold on. It's 8, 9, and 10 of HJR 4 and line 9 and 10 in SB 20, that language we believe includes the permanent fund, but if it needs further clarification, that's something that might be addressed at a future committee.
Yeah. To the chair, yes, I think we can work on clarifying that as we go along.
Okay. So does that answer your question, Senator Kaufman? Okay. Other questions? Okay. Now, Senator Kaufman, your opportunity now to provide your comments as to the CS, and if you want to distinguish one for the other, please do. But if it's to both of them, I'll let you proceed as you wish.
All right. Thank you. Through the chair, and again for the record, Senator James Kaufman, District F, Anchorage. With respect to putting the dividend under the cap, that it's a policy call for a variety of reasons. One is that the dividend number has not been resolved. So trying to do everything within the confines of a given piece of legislation, that's a fairly tall order. I believe that the dividend, both economically and politically, deserves its own solution. And that's why there's various pieces of legislation out there to decide. Is it a 75-25? What's the new formula? And so with that respect, we decided that we would carve that out. And it's not for any intent other than to simply make legislation possible. I feel that it will be much easier from a policy perspective, but also from an economic perspective, because the dollar value of the dividend or the formula for it is not set. So that's TBD, to be determined, not to get too many acronyms into the hearing. So the other aspect is that if you put it in there and you don't resolve it, then that the battle that we're having continues in perpetuity. So the idea was to set it aside, let that get solved as part of kind of the roadmap from the fiscal policy work group, where the dividend and the cap and various other aspects of policy were kind of carved out to separate segments. And so with all of those things, the unknown value, so what would you set the percentage at if you don't know what the value of that would be? So again, we're getting into that internal battle that we're having here in the legislature and putting it inside of this. So just for simplicity and again, political and economic reasons, it was seen as let's set that aside. And it's not holding it to be superior to other spending in this sense. It's simply just saying that it's a number that we're going to have to sort out. And I can roll through these if you like.
Go ahead and finish all your comments, and then if we have questions, I will say if anyone has a question for Senator Kaufman about any of the comments, let me know and we'll interrupt and we can ask the question right then. You don't have to wait.
Thank you. Yeah, The other, so we talked about potentially disincentivizing savings, and so we agree we don't want to do that. So fund transfers for the purpose of savings, we don't want to include those. Changing the calculation of real GDP to like the incorporation of government spending within that. One of the beneficial aspects of the original construct, which was to count our private sector economic activity, was for the purposes of focusing on our state, in-state productive private sector economic activity and focusing on that. Government spending may happen, but by baking it into the number, that's where we felt we're starting to lose some of the dynamic that we're looking for, which is where we start to really focus on the health and productivity of the independent economy, the private sector. So we're not in favor of that. Change four, again, is as we just catalog them here, which is the buffer that we had between the statutory and constitutional limit for capital projects. The idea that in there was to change that to a single majority vote as opposed to the two-thirds that we had. And I don't think that there's an issue there. And then the other, including a CBR draw limitation in Section 2, and we're certainly open to discussion. We have some questions of how that may be affected by the sweep, reverse sweep provisions. And then lastly, with respect to that, there's some concern that addressing two sections of the Constitution in one piece of legislation may open it up to legal action. So, with again, a kind of a simplicity and purity intent that we had, we had baked that into the original design.
Questions for Senator Kaufman? Sure. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I understand the goal, the reasons for excluding state government spending. I am chewing on local, but the role of federal government spending in Alaska is materially different, I think, than what we're looking at in terms of what Alaskans directly control, what the legislature has a say in, and then the role on the impact on the economy. Wouldn't it be advisable to include federal government spending? I think about the big build out for the F-35s in Fairbanks and the you know barracks and the things required for that. There's going to be a big federal build out as we get an icebreaker or a couple of icebreakers over time. And that is economic activity in the state. Those are dollars that don't come out of tax revenues. Ought we treat that differently?
Through the chair.
Senator Kaufman.
Senator Keel. The idea would be that we would capture that into the net effects that, so if the federal government comes in and initiates activities, there will be payroll, there will be local economic activity that will get captured. So it's we're not carving in the original construct, we're not carving that out. Because that activity will impact the economy. That's one reason why we advocate for it, or we look for opportunities where we can. So if somebody gets a job and buys a pickup truck or goes grocery shopping or does all the other things, maybe, makes purchases and commits to other spending, that's going to get measured in its impact on the state economy. So it's not that we're wiping away all effects of government spending, but we're just not trying to measure, the specific, like call it the first layer of spending. What we're looking for are the economic effects that it has on the economy.
I'll think on that.
All right. Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. This might be a very nitpicky question, so please follow along with me in it. And I'm actually looking here on the first page of all three versions of this legislation, and I'm looking at specifically around appropriations to meet state disaster. And I'm curious about kind of what are the guardrails on that? We are now experiencing some after effects of receiving federal funds to assist us with issues happening in our public schools. And we've learned that we have not been in compliance with some of the expectations or stipulations outlaid in receiving of those federal dollars. And so it looks like we might have to make additional appropriations to certain school districts to meet the obligations of those, that contractual commitment when receiving those federal dollars. So would that be part of this appropriation? We're no longer in a disaster. We're outside of that scope. We're in FY25 spending. With things of that nature, when there's a lag or we're experiencing the impacts or ramifications of a once-in-a-lifetime disaster, how would this section, this language, deal with those very extenuating, very unusual circumstances? How would we provide that flexibility?
Well, thank you. Through the chair, Senator Tobin. The way I see this, it would be that if it was associated with a declared disaster, that it would not be under the cap. Now, as far as the duration or the extent of that, if you get years into something and it's still related to that, how that would be seen. But the intent was to not limit ourselves, prevent the ability to respond to a disaster. So the legislative intent was to be able to react to a disaster and not have a cap that was getting in the way. And on the flip side, some people have criticized that, well, that could incentivize a governor to declare disasters on a regular basis. But that's pretty drastic action, so I'm not concerned with that. And the subtlety of your question of, like, what's the duration? But to me, I would say if the expenditure was as a result of a disaster that was declared and it could be pretty cleanly tied to it, I would think that would still, be part of the exemption.
Absolutely, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just using this example because we're in it right now. I think for those in the Anchorage area who dealt with the consequences of the earthquake and are still dealing with some recoupment of those resources from FEMA and other places that are coming to, I think of right now of Ursa Minor on J-Bear, Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, which is in the process of being rebuilt, but with using dollars from the federal government pertaining to that natural disaster. We're many years outside of that earthquake. However, the school is still in the process of receiving enough federal funds to be rebuilt. It's such a lag. And so I'm hopeful that maybe we can think about maybe some language just to ensure that that is protected, because there are extenuating circumstances, but it seems to be happening more frequently than not.
Senator Kaufman, response.
Thank you. Through the chair to Senator Tobin. Again, looking at the wording, I don't think that there's a problem there. I think it's written in a way that would allow. So appropriations to a state account or fund that requires a subsequent appropriation from that account or fund as prescribed by law. Appropriations to meet a state disaster declared by the governor as prescribed by law. So it's, I believe the way that's building up is that if it's associated with that disaster, and again, we wouldn't be limiting federal money from coming in, which is one reason why we don't want to anchor on federal spending.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand that. I know with the case of Ursa Minor, it might take some match dollars for being able to leverage those federal dollars. So it's either going to happen through a school bond or through some additional resources that might come to the Anchorage School District from the state. So it's a convoluted thing. And I think that's really where I'm just trying to make sure I understand directly and we make a public record of it, so that if and when someone needs to look back and understand the intent, it has been stated in these hearings.
Doesn't look like that needs a response. Okay. Other questions or comments? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, you made mention of an element that might tangle up with the sweep and the reverse sweep, and I didn't manage to follow you. Could you take me back?
Thank you. Through the chair to Senator Keel. So that's with respect to changing two sections of the Constitution at the same time. in the new version. And
this is SJR 4.
Yeah, SJR 4, section 2, reading AS 37.07020 is amended by a new section to read, and then, well, am I on the wrong?
This is
Mr. Harvey's pointing out that I'm on the wrong page, literally. Yeah, so that is the item on page 3, beginning at line 2.
Mm-hmm. So just to make sure I'm clear, I understand the sort of the Bess v. Ulmer concern about, are we amending two sections? Is that a revision instead of an amendment? I got that. There was a mention of this possibly tangling up the sweep or the reverse sweep, which is a CBR provision, but I didn't understand the mechanism of concern there.
For the record, Matthew Harvey, staff to Senator Kaufman, and through the chair to Senator Keel. It's just a question more than anything, saying this would tangle up the reverse sweep, but just ensuring that in conversation and while this is being discussed, to make sure if there's a limit on CBR appropriations that there wouldn't be any concern with regards to if money gets swept into the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, and then there's a limit on how much can be taken out, just ensuring that, and I don't know if there would be a concern or not, but just ensuring that there isn't any issue with that.
One of the interesting questions, this is in the hyper-technical, and Senator Kill, you're on finance, so you may track this better than me, but if you're asking about the CBR balance on June 30th of the previous fiscal year, if the sweep occurs on June 30th, then literally there's more, and there has been a sweep, there's more funds in the CBR for your 25% calculation than if the sweep occurs on July 1st. And I can't claim to know the answer to that question, because I the one thing I'm certain of is that sweep would occur pretty close to June 30th and July 1st, but exactly when that happened as a fiscal policy matter, I do not even pretend to know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate that. That's the grounding I needed. It actually gets more complicated than that, since failing to reverse the sweep, we have had the, I think, constitutionally dubious notion of the scoop that happens instantaneously before the sweep, which I might consider extra textual, but it's where we are today, and so. Yeah, thank you for orienting me. That is a significant question with the June 30 tag. Setting that aside for a moment, we have spent some time the last couple of years thinking about what the minimum balance in the CBR ought to be for a state like Alaska, with the volatility we have, potential volatility we have in our oil revenues. We have this new source of stability with the sustainable draw from the permanent fund and some split for public services. Do we effectively quadruple whatever our minimum balance in the CBR needs to be if we put a 25% draw limit from the CBR itself? And maybe I'll pose that to the offerer of the committee substitute with that provision.
And I will ask you to give a little more detail, because I gather 25% means you're leaving 75% in, but walk that through a little more in a little more detail.
The disagreement with the current administration has been about whether the CBR needs a minimum balance sufficient to cash flow the state for the first quarter, or whether the CBR needs a minimum balance sufficient to cover a year when oil goes in the price goes in the toilet, or God forbid the pipeline has a disastrous problem and there's next to no oil revenue. How long are we cash flowing the state out of the CBR?
Okay.
And so if we cap our draw at a quarter, don't we effectively quadruple whatever the result of that debate ends up being our minimum balance.
Because we're limiting the funds that are available to basically fund state government in the worst of all contexts.
Mr. Chairman, that may not be a terrible thing. I just want to make sure we've thought it through.
And Senator Kaufman, any thoughts on that question? I think it's a good question to the this part of the proposed committee.
Senator Klayman, to the chair, it's a question at this point. I think should we be fortunate enough to get to the finance committee, there's going to be some, you know, pretty in-depth discussions about some of these secondary, tertiary effects and some of the best ways to optimize the language to, as always with this, we want to do no harm. The idea is to come up with a beneficial tie to our state economy so that rather than simply referencing the price of oil and kind of guessing at what our spend can be, is that we start to look at this five-year trailing average of our state economic activity as a healthy measurement, measure what matters is kind of the nickname for things like this, that we look at that. But along the way, we don't want to do anything that blocks us from beneficial activities such as savings or inadvertently create requirements in something such as the CBR that make our operations more difficult. So this is the legislative intent of all of this is simply to create a healthy measurement tool that we begin to use to provide constructive moderation of peak spending at the absolute maximum moments. Nothing much more than that.
Okay. Anything further on the topic, Senator Keel?
No, thank you.
I will just make a couple of comments, and I know we're running up on time. My thought is we'll try to get through whether we adopt or don't adopt the committee substitute, then we'll continue this discussion on Monday. I think we only have bills previously scheduled or heard, so we can certainly continue on Monday with where we are. The two things I would note with regard to removing the permanent fund dividend from the exemption so the permanent fund dividend gets included in the spending analysis. I think part of the challenge that we've had about the dividend for a long time is this sense that it comes before everything else. And what the Supreme Court has told us in the Wilikowski case is that the dividend has to compete with everything else. That's really the structure that we're in, and that it doesn't get treated differently than any other program. So part of the reason why I support having the dividend included within your spending is that really says exactly what the Supreme Court says, that we actually have to decide where our priorities are. And as we have less funds available, those questions about should it be public education, public safety, public health, dividends, capital projects. It seems to me that if we're making those decisions, we shouldn't exempt any of those appropriations from what fits within a spending cap. So that's the reason for that. And with regard to the government spending, whether to include or not include, I think there's a lot of good arguments on both perspectives. I just see in our Alaska economy, and certainly very much in the early days of statehood and before the oil boom came, that government spending was such a huge part of our economy. And so the notion of trying to gauge the economy without government spending seems to me it's more appropriate to have the government spending in. I know that in the end that will change the percentage that would be your cap. Changing the denominator means you'd come up with a different percentage, which get addressed at another point in the process. But that's the reason I have liking to keep government spending in and including the permanent fund dividend within the spend. Any other thoughts or comments from members of the committee? Then with that, Senator Keel, could I have a motion to adopt the CS for Senate Bill 20?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 20, he said, not actually looking at it. thank you. Work order 33 LS0206/S is in Sitka as our working document.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we will adopt the committee substitute of Senate Bill 20 as our working document. That brings us next to Senate Joint Resolution 4. Senator Keel, could I have a motion on that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, Judiciary Work Order 33LS0205/U as in Unalakleet as our working document.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, we will adopt the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 4 as our working document. We are on the cusp of 3 o'clock, so rather than continue with amendments, what we will do on Monday, there's two amendments, one to each of the two bill, the resolution and the bill. I will be more than happy if people want to offer additional amendments on Monday. We will take them up until the last minute on Monday to add, and we can take those up on Monday. We will also on Monday come back and review Senate Bill 165, Defense of Public Officers Ethics Complaints. But I appreciate the discussion today. I appreciate everyone hustling down after a longer than normal floor session in the Senate to take this up. And my plan will be to address any and all amendments on Monday and then move the bill out Monday afternoon. And the only other note, I know you didn't have time today or with all the different pieces of the puzzle going on here in the Capitol. But if you do have an amendment that changes the percentages based on what we've adopted on the committee substitute, that would be, I think, something we would all appreciate if you can do that between now and Monday. And we could even potentially, if it's too tight to do it as a written amendment, we could certainly do that as an amendment, a more conceptual amendment. So with that, unless anyone has anything else, we will stand adjourned. The time is now 3 p.m.